Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Whoa!
Potluck. And welcome back to another episode of Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yu.
And I'm Ri Ra Yu.
And we are here for your mid-month check-in episode for December 2019, the last episode of Books and Boba for the decade that was the 2010s.
Woo!
How are your holidays going, Ri Ra?
It's been chaos at work, as it is with retail businesses. I worked a lot of like holiday events, so I had to work with a lot of children. And a lot of those children have germs. So last year I got really sick at this time of year. So I've just been like taking supplements and vitamins and carrying Purell with me. So I'm feeling okay. I still haven't Christmas shopped yet, so that is a little bit, like, it's, like, looming over me like a dark cloud. And I freaking hate Christmas so much.
See, I think the last few years, I've gotten all of my Christmas shopping out of the way during Black Friday. So,
yeah,
you know, shopping.
See, that would be helpful if I, like, actually knew what people wanted. Because I'm not just going to buy random things and be like, oh, okay, I hope that this is what they like.
I mean, you can never go wrong with, like, a nice sweater or, you know.
Yeah, but what's their size? Also, like, what if they are partial to fabric? I don't know. See, my family is very, very picky.
I mean, you can always just get them some sort of gadget. Is your family into gadgets?
No, my parents don't know how to use the internet.
Yeah, that makes it tough then. See, my dad is super into gadgets, so if I just buy him some piece of technology, he'll love it.
I was telling you earlier, like, I bought my dad like a golf thing for his office, so he can practice golf in his office, and that is like the best present I've ever given him in my entire life. And he like never lets me forget it, because he'll be like, oh, why can't you get me like something as good as this? And it's like, well, because you still have this thing. I clearly cannot buy this expensive thing every year for you to just like replace it into your office.
So it sounds like the holidays is quite a stressful time for you.
Like, the thing about Christmas is I like the decorations. I like the food that comes out of Christmas, but I really hate like this notion, like the capitalist part of Christmas, you know? Like, if you look at other countries, I feel like it's less less about the presents and more about like hanging out with your family.
You would think that, but I've been to other countries during Christmas, and the American version of Christmas, the capitalist version, definitely spread.
No, like I know in Korea, like Christmas is not really like a family holiday; it's a dating holiday. Like, you're supposed to like go out and see decorations with like your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever your partner is.
I think it's similar for Japan too, right?
I guess so.
From extensive knowledge of Terrace House and anime, I feel like that's
like in Japanese Christmas though, you can hang out with like friends at your house, and then you have like the round cream cake, and you have Kentucky Fried Chicken. Those are like the two things that are crucial for house holiday parties in Japan.
Yeah, it's super wild that like things that we take for granted here, like KFC, is a luxury item out in Asia.
Why?
Like, people celebrate life events at KFC in China.
That's that's so sad for some reason. Anyway,
yeah.
So you sent me a link to the Ghost Bride trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They released an official trailer last week for the adaptation of The Ghost Bride that's going to be on Netflix, produced by Netflix Asia, written by Kai Wu, who was a writer also on The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm interested what your thoughts are.
It's been so long since we read The Ghost Bride. So, I was just like, what happens in this book again? I know the premise, but, like, I forgot, like when I was watching the trailer, I was like, who's that? Like, I understand, like, it kind of played with my recollection a bit because I was like, I'm pretty sure, like the guy who she's supposed to be the ghost bride to, Tian Bai,
yeah,
and it's like I'm pretty sure he was like an insufferable git.
Like he was supposed to be kind of like not good looking and like
yeah. So like what happened? Netflix?
They made him hot.
Yeah. So everyone on this show is super hot,
The bad guy is the hottest for some reason.
A lot of people were saying that he should have played Erlang instead of that character.
Yeah, because he has like the Erlang otherworldly.
I can see that.
You know.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see the comments of everyone kind of complaining how hot the bad guy was.
But you know what? Like, secondary lead syndrome. Like, it's going to happen for every piece of artwork.
Also, it's television. A C-drama, right?
That's true.
Which, you know, everyone needs to be hot in C-dramas.
I did, like, when I was going through the comments, some of the complaints that people said was, I wish it wasn't in Mandarin.
Mm.
Because it takes place in Malaya. So, yeah, it would have made more sense if it was, like, either in like Hokkien or like some form of like Cantonese or I don't know.
I'm interested to see what if any reporting will be done on like the authenticity, I guess, of the characters. From what I understand, because this deals with like the wealthy families of Malacca, those families might have spoken more like Imperial Mandarin?
Maybe, but I highly doubt it because I remember in the book it was like they were like third generation.
Right.
So like I'm guessing that the culture may have like influenced their dialect.
I think it was actually shot in Malaysia though.
Like, oh, okay.
The actual production took place there.
Yeah. I mean it looks good.
It looks interesting.
It looks better than I thought it would be, to be perfectly honest.
I really enjoyed the fact that they used like the Aladdin font for the trailer.
The font looked so bad. But I was like, it's a trailer. Just calm down.
I'm excited because next year we'll probably see this. We'll see Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh, that's right. That's coming to Hulu. Oh, no. Little Fires Everywhere is on
Apple
Hulu.
Plus. Is it Hulu?
It's Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
Apple Plus is Pachinko.
Right. And then hopefully we'll start seeing scenes from Pachinko, too.
Yeah.
That's been in production for at least 2 years now, I feel like.
I feel like we haven't heard anything about it recently.
Yeah.
Like, it's been under, like, very tight wraps. Also, P.S. I Love You, the second installment.
Right, they started releasing stills from it.
Yes. And it's coming out on Valentine's Day, if I'm correct.
Gotta capitalize on that, you know?
You know what?
Hey, this is Valentine's Day. Stay in.
Stay
watch,
in.
Watch a nice
Netflix
watch a movie.
And chill.
Don't give in to the capitalist narrative of needing to go out for Valentine's Day. Stay in and support this other corporation.
They recasted John Ambrose McLaren.
They did.
I mean, we mentioned this before in earlier episodes, but it was my first time actually like
seeing him
in costume in like actual like high school looks. Because you know like how all of the actors are like not in high school. They're like in their mid to late 20s now.
I mean, it's
like they have to like dress them down so they look younger. So like it was hard for me to picture that actor. I forgot his name, but like that actor in like a high school role.
I feel like that's why they're filming the next two movies back to back.
I mean, they would have to like.
So yeah, because I mean Lana's always going to look young for a little bit, right? But I feel like Noah Centineo is probably.
Yeah.
Getting to the point where you can't play high school anymore.
Nope.
I am very excited because Fresh Off the Boat is exiting this year.
Yeah.
there really isn't any network show to fill that void. So we're kind of just looking to streaming.
Streaming has always been like, I don't know, like I feel like it's always been a crucial part of Asian American viewing. Because like even before like Hulu came out, like when I would want to watch like Korean dramas, I would have to like find like an illegal stream online.
Yeah, especially since Drama Fever isn't here anymore.
Yeah, Drama Fever is, oh, rest in peace. Like, yeah. Really. Anyway, we're going to move on to book deals. There's a lot to go through.
Yeah. Oh, before we get to that, actually, let's remind everyone what we're reading for the month of December 2019. Our book club pick for this month is Home Fire by Camilla Shamsie. Have you gotten far in this book yet?
No, I'm still waiting for it to be available. Mm.
I got the Kindle version, so I'm going to start on it hopefully soon.
Yeah.
It's not that long of a book. I mean, compared to the last few books that we've read, it's actually pretty doable. So
it's like, what, 300 pages?
Yeah, just under 300.
Okay. Yeah.
Be a nice, fun
again, it
holiday
is,
read.
Again, it is like a dark novel. It's not going to be like a happy novel. So just prepare yourself.
It's all right. I've actually been reading a bunch of middle grade recently.
Oh, really?
Because we're prepping for some interviews that we're going to do starting next year.
Yes.
And it's been kind of fun just to like breeze through a book in like a few hours.
Yeah, because like those books are meant for younger kids and not us. But, you know, middle grade has been expanding so quickly in literature. So we've been seeing a lot of like great works from Asian and Asian American authors in that genre.
My nieces are getting to the age where they read more now. So I've been really having a good time just like buying them books that we've talked about on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And say, here, representation on the page.
It's like, I know more than your teacher. Like this is the hit book.
But yeah, let's move on to the recent book news. Reba, why don't you start us off with our first story?
Okay. And as always, our book deal news come from Publishers Weekly. Harper Alley acquired world rights to Sunmi's debut YA graphic novel, Firebird. The book follows Caroline as she crushes on Kim, an older student she tutors, and their friendship through their varied experiences as queer children of Asian American immigrants. Publication is scheduled for 2022.
Like we just said, representation on the page. It's where it's happening. Next up, Momofuku founder David Chang sold his memoir in a two-book deal to Clarkson Potter. The untitled memoir tells the story of how the son of conservative Korean immigrants confronted his insecurities and depression and discovered his talents and found fellowship in the kitchen. The memoir is slated for an April 2020 release, with the second book in the deal being a cookbook.
Yes. David Chang is also the founder of the magazine Lucky Peach. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Lucky Peach.
Yeah, and he's also the host of a bunch of Netflix shows, including Ugly Delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Momofuku?
I've been to the one in New York, the one in Toronto, mm-hmm. and the one in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've only been to the one in New York, and I only, like, had dessert, so...
Yeah, I've had their ramen before. I haven't been to his L.A. restaurant yet, Majordomo. Mm-hmm. But I have been to the Milk Bar that opened out here, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Next up, Crown acquired world rights to Kristen Mai Zhang's The Rise and Falls of Jackie Chan, a picture book biography about the trailblazing actor who combines comedy and martial arts in his one-of-a-kind movie roles. The picture book will be illustrated by Alina Chow. Publication is slated for fall 2021.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Jackie Chan Adventure show?
I did.
My favorite part of that show was like after the animated episode was done, he like Jackie Chan, like the real life person, would come on screen and he would do like some like martial art moves and then look directly at the camera and be like, "Hey, I didn't see you there." And then, and then he would just say, I forgot if it
like
was
like G.I. Joe, like moral lesson. Like,
yeah, I don't know. You know. I don't know if he like came up with a moral lesson or if it was just like a Snapple fact about like culture. I don't know. But I remember as a child watching that and thinking it was hilarious.
Yeah, Jackie Chan was... Actually, I watched a lot of his movies growing up. Just
I think a lot of people did. Yeah. Was it last year he finally got an Oscar? Like, it was an honorary Oscar.
Yeah, it was an honorary Oscar.
for like his contributions to like
it was a technical Oscar.
Yeah, yeah, right? It was a technical like, Oscar for like action movie filming, because a lot of the choreography that they do in fight sequences now were like the foundation was built by Jackie Chan.
Well, and he had a huge stunt team that he took care of, right?
Yeah,
and they went off to do like be stunt coordinators for other films. So a lot of stuff can be traced back to the work that he did in his films. Next up, Macmillan Imprint acquired World English rights to How Maya Got Fierce by Sona Charapatra. Pitched as the bold type meets younger, the YA contemporary novel follows a 17-year-old California farm girl who accidentally lands her dream job at a New York City's women's magazine. One problem, they think she's 26. Publication is slated for spring 2021.
You know what this reminds me of? Arrested Development.
With Maybe?
Yeah, with Maybe.
Sounds like shenanigans. Sounds like fun shenanigans with a little bit of a Devil's Wear Prada.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I like the title, How Maya Got Fierce. It's pretty catchy.
I mean, you're going to have to survive in New York publishing, you know?
I guess so. Next up, Henry Holt acquired Remy Lai's middle grade graphic novel, Picasso, right?
Picasso.
Oh, like Picasso. Okay.
Yeah.
Henry Holt acquired Remy Lai's middle grade graphic novel, Picasso. Picasso is a basket-toting dog who does his family's grocery shopping on his own. When 11-year-old Joe is mistaken for his owner by a group of kids, she goes along with the lie in hopes of making new friends. Soon the town becomes divided over whether Picasso, should be allowed to roam free, and Joe worries that her lie will be exposed and endanger Picasso and her new friendship. Publication is slated for spring 2021.
That sounds adorable.
Yeah. This is the second middle grade graphic novel on our list. There seems to be more coming out of the woodwork lately, because there was like Stargazing that came out earlier this year, and it's doing really well. And then before that, we had like Pashmina.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just really cool that graphic novels are becoming an, I guess, accepted literary medium for new authors to, you know, have a voice and also give opportunity to artists to make stuff that's outside of like the, I guess, mainstream comic book industry, right?
Kind
of telling like independent stories that aren't connected to like characters that we've had for decades.
I think it's nice because it's kind of like telling teachers and educators that, you know, reading graphic novels, it's considered reading. Like, these are actual books.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember growing up, like parents and teachers saying, like, oh, comic books or, like, graphic novels, they're not actual, like, real books. And it's like, well, it is, because they're actually reading. There's actual story to it, to
them. I remember as a kid, I got this collection of graphic novels versions of, like, classic books.
Oh, they still
do
that, though.
So I had Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of Earth in graphic novel form that I had when I was like, I think at elementary school, I was like 10 or 11 when I got that.
Yeah, but it's glad, like, I'm really glad that I'm seeing more middle grade graphic novels. Harper Alley, when we, I think that was like the first book deal that we announced. Yeah, for the graphic novel Firebird. Harper Alley is a new imprint by HarperCollins, and they specifically deal with graphic novels.
Yeah.
And they're relatively new, so hopefully we'll see more works from them.
Yeah. Our next story, Simon Spotlight acquired author-illustrator Maggie P. Chang's debut, Geraldine Poo, the first installment in a new series in the ready-to-read early reader line. The story follows a confident girl and her beloved lunchbox, keeper of her grandmother's delicious lunches, as she uses bravery, ingenuity, and even some stinky tofu in order to right her wrongs and create a sense of openness and community among her classmates. Publication is set for summer 2021. So this is like the lunchbox scenario, the book.
Man, I never really had that growing up.
Me neither, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, you grew up here, like in San Gabriel Valley, right?
So, I guess. So,
so like, you have so many Asian kids. And then, like, for me, like, I went to Catholic school for the first 3 years of, like, my elementary schooling.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very small class. And the funny thing is, like, the ratio of, like, students of color to white kids were, like, very evenly matched. So no one said anything about, like, my Korean lunches, like, my kimbaps.
Yeah.
They looked pretty normal. Didn't smell.
I mean, the author is free to write whatever she wants, but I don't know if sticky tofu is a common lunchbox scenario.
We kind of had this conversation with like our first episode with heroin complex, because I forgot which character it was, but like one of them like brought soup dumplings to lunch.
Yeah.
And then we're like, what kind of parent makes soup dumplings for their kid?
It's not a like, very, it doesn't travel well.
It doesn't travel well. No. It's a lot of work, a lot of work for your like 8-year-old kid.
I mean, but I remember in that story, they traded it for Spam Musubi, which is a better choice for
yes,
a lunch
food.
Yes, it is
food. a better choice, superior choice.
Yeah.
Next up, Tundra acquired North American rights to Viewfinder, the debut wordless graphic novel by Christine Chung and Sawa Majoka. The book is about a young female astronaut who follows a mysterious map to a now-abandoned Earth. Publication is scheduled for spring 2022.
Lots of books for like young and middle-grade readers on this list.
What can I say? Like, there are so many Asian authors in like children's literature, which is good, really good.
I mean, we're writing books that we wish we had when we were growing up, which is great because that means younger kids, not just Asian kids, will have a much more well-rounded view of people.
Yeah, and
hopefully,
also,
you know,
also it's just like not just about like Chinese people or Japanese, Korean people. There's like, there are multitudes of picture books and middle grade books that are specific to like one certain Asian American culture. So there are more options now, which is nice.
Speaking of more options, Scholastic acquired world rights to Sylvia Liu's middle grade novel, Manatee's Best Friend. The story follows a 12-year-old girl who teams up with friends to save manatees from reckless boaters after her video of a dolphin diverting a speedboat goes viral. Publication is slated for spring 2021.
Next up, Roaring Brook Press acquired world rights to Julia Kuo's debut picture book as author-illustrator. Let's Do Everything and Nothing is about the strength of a mother and daughter's relationship found in the moments they share, whether grand or small. Publication is slated for winter 2022.
Our next story, Scribner acquired North American rights to Tamima Anam's The Startup Wife. Described to be a sharp satirical look at marriage, work, rituals, and female friendship in the digital age, the novel is about a young woman who builds a social media platform with her husband and his best friend. Anam is the author of A Golden Age, which won a Commonwealth Writers Prize in 2008.
Actually, A Golden Age is, it's on our very long list of books that we should read.
Yeah.
Tamima is actually like a Bangladeshi-born Brit, and she's already written like 3 really well-known books. It's only a matter of time for us to read one of her books. It's just
there's a lot of books on that list, and we only have what 12 spots a year.
Yeah, it grows every year, and it's very very hard to figure out our rhythm of the year. But congratulations to Tamima. Next up, Viking Bot USC PhD candidate and 2018 McDowell Fellow, Jean Chen Ho's Fiona and Jane. This collection of linked stories follows the friendship between 2 Chinese-American women from their teenage years into adulthood, set across LA, Taiwan, and New York. Viking also bought a second untitled novel that is set in 19th century LA Chinatown, and it's about the lynching of 19 Chinese men after an errant bullet fired by a Chinese gang member killed a white man. And it's also inspired by a true story, if I'm correct.
Jean Chen Ho is Twitter famous in like Asian Twitter, I feel like. I see her tweets every once in a while. But yeah, congrats. Next, Knopf bought Lambda Literary Fellow Eric Nguyen's debut novel, A History of Lost Things. Set in a New Orleans housing project, the book follows a Vietnamese refugee mother and her 2 sons, one tempted by gangs and the other embracing his gay identity, as they reckon with their past losses and grapple with creating a new home. Publication is tentatively set for spring 2021.
Eric Nguyen, I've seen him around in Asian American journalism. Like, I feel like I've read some of his articles at some point. This circle is very, very small. From what I remember, they're very much involved in the Vietnamese American communities. Yeah. Our last book deal is, in a two-book deal, Riverhead Books acquired Esme Weijin Wang's novel, Soft Animals, which follows a chronically ill woman who moves into a small-town lodge with her volatile husband after inheriting it from the parents of a hate crime victim. The second book is called The Unexpected Shape, a nonfiction work exploring the balance between ambition and limitation in contemporary life. And just so you know, Wang is the author of the critically acclaimed The Collected Schizophrenias and the novel The Border of Paradise.
Sounds kind of heavy.
But The Collected Schizophrenias, like, I've been seeing that book nominated for a lot of, like top 10 books of like the year. So I've seen her book around.
Yeah. Two-book deal. Congratulations, Esme.
Yes. All right. We're going to move on to book news. And some two very large, I guess, like page-to-screen adaptation news have popped up in our radar.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest news that popped up, I think it was yesterday. Yesterday, while I was compiling the news for this episode. So Deadline reported that John M. Chu is going to be producing a film adaptation of Mary H.K. Choi's best-selling YA novel, Permanent Record. And for those of you who are saying Mary H.K. Choi, her name sounds familiar. She is the author of Emergency Contact, which also got a lot of press. Was it last year? I'm not sure when it came out, but it was recently. And right now, John M. Chu is in talks to direct, so that's not confirmed yet. And Mary will be writing the script and will be executive producing, which is pretty neat. Not a lot of authors get the chance to write their own screenplay.
Yeah.
Adaptation of their own work.
I hope that keeps it, you know, keeps them honest, especially if John is directing as well.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if they brought on like another like Asian American director, like a fresh blood, you know. So Permanent Record, it's about how social media influences relationships every day. It's an unexpected romance between Pablo Rind, who is a Pakistani Korean American college dropout, who is working a graveyard shift at a 24-hour deli in Brooklyn to pay off his credit card and student loan debts, and Lana Smart, who is like this pop icon. She graduated from her early childhood stardom to being like this social media influencer who has like millions of followers. And the two randomly meet at 4 a.m. in the dead of winter, and they kind of get a thing going on, but they know that this relationship can't really go on forever. So they try to keep it on the down low and off Instagram for as long as they can. But it takes about 3 seconds for the world to find out. And there are some complications that arise from it. So it is a very fun, young 20s coming of age.
Kind of like
romance.
A reverse Pretty Woman type of situation.
I guess so. Yeah.
That's cool. I have a question. So a 24-hour deli in Brooklyn, is that different from a bodega, or is that the
same thing? I think it's the same thing. I think because I pulled some of the details from the Deadline article, and I think some people just don't know what a bodega is. So they had to like come up with a term that like most people understand what it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations to Mary H.K. Choi and to John M. Chu for getting this project off the ground. It sounds like it'll be interesting, kind of a twist on, it sounds like a rom-com, right? It's like, it sounds like it has like the fixings of a good like millennial rom-com, right? Like updated for the millennial age. And hopefully, you know, they'll be able to cast a, like Pakistani Korean is a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious to see that represented on screen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our other story involves director Lulu Wang, who you might know as the writer and director of The Farewell, which is in contention for a lot of awards this coming award season, which is amazing. Although it got nominated for Best Foreign Language Feature at the Golden Globes.
Wait, what? Yeah. Like, it's like mainly in English. Or like, I guess like...
It's an American story.
Yeah, it's an American story. I don't understand.
Hollywood Foreign Press, you guys.
Cowards. Yeah. They should just get rid of that category and just, like, nominate.
Yeah. She's taking the helm of the upcoming new Amazon series, The Expatriates, which is being executive produced by Nicole Kidman. The series is an adaptation of Janice Y.K. Lee's 2016 novel of the same name. Set in Hong Kong, the story follows three close-knit expats. Mercy, a young Korean-American and recent Columbia graduate whose reckless behavior triggers a tragic incident. Margaret, a mother of three who spirals into anxiety and suffering from the aforementioned incident. And Hillary, a wealthy housewife who is haunted by her struggle to have a child.
So this is an Amazon series. So, yeah. Like, let's go down the list. Hulu has Little Fires Everywhere. Amazon has The Expatriates. Apple TV has Pachinko.
And Netflix has The Ghost Bride.
Yeah, yeah. So all of these choices within the next year or so.
I've always thought that expats would be an interesting kind of subject matter.
Yeah.
For a series. And a great excuse to have a story set in another country, but featuring
white people.
Like, not even white people. Like, because expats aren't just white people these
days. No, they're not. I was making a joke, Marvin. God.
But it's a joke because it's true. Like, for the longest time, these stories have been about the white people in other countries, right? Like the Eat, Pray, Love story.
Yeah.
Right. Of white people going to another country to discover themselves. Where I'm personally more interested in the story, like The Farewell, which is diaspora people going back to their country of origin to discover themselves or to rediscover themselves.
Yeah, and Hong Kong is a very interesting place for expats because you have finance people who are there for like 2-3 years. You have like Chinese American college grads who go back to like experience the homeland for about like a year. And then there are some people who go there to quote unquote find themselves and then they'd never leave.
Yeah. I mean, Hong Kong, much like Singapore, is a place where if you have a good command of English, you can get by. And I think that's why it's they're like global business capitals of the world. Like, because you have people from all over the world there doing business and working together for better or for worse in the eyes of who you talk to. But
I'm
excited that Lulu is getting more opportunities, especially after coming off of The Farewell. And especially if she does well this award season, like we're going to see a lot more of her, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, having Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Like, as like your executive producer, that's, you know.
Yeah, and she's been doing well for herself too, right? Because didn't she also executive produce
Big Little Lies?
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, she was hoping to get Little Fires Everywhere for her company.
Oh.
But then Reese Witherspoon
snatched it. I'm excited for all these adaptations to make it to the screen. It's pretty cool that these are all also books written by women and centers on women's stories.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you love to see it, you know?
Well, now that, like, all of these shows are going to come up soon, like, Marvin and I will have to watch them. And
do we have to?
Yeah, we do. Like, I think we owe the public that, like, our opinion as people who actually read the book.
Do you think they'll give us screeners?
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah. Give us some extra lead time.
But I do have a Hulu subscription, so I'm definitely going to watch Little Fires Everywhere.
Yeah.
Amazon.
They've been showing clips of it on the Hulu, like, Sizzler.
Okay.
But there hasn't been an actual trailer yet.
No, not yet.
Which I'm waiting for. We're waiting for it. Show it to us. Show us the baby. We want to see the baby.
But yeah, like once these shows come out, maybe we'll do extra episodes where we talk about the adaptation and the quality of it.
We say this all the time.
But that's because like you and I watch things constantly.
I mean, next year will be the year.
It will be the year.
Because there will be, what, 5 things actually. Because To All the Boys, Part 2 is also coming to Netflix. So
it's one of our most popular episodes. Like To All the Boys I Loved Before, that episode is like one of our most popular episodes. Same thing with Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
Which is also an episode where we half talked about the movie and half talked about the book.
I'm excited for it.
Yes.
I'm excited for it. And on that note, that'll also do it for this episode of Books and Boba. Hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about the upcoming books of the, I guess they're all coming out 2020.
Of right? the new decade.
A reminder again that our 2019 December book club pick is Home Fire by Camilla Shamsi. Hopefully you are reading along and ready to listen to us talk about it. At the top of the new decade, Rira, yes. Good luck on all your holiday shopping. I know you're about to enter the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I hope to see you on the other side.
I might be dead after the end of 2019.
You'll be fine.
Okay. If you say so.
At least hold out until the end of 2020 so we can see if, you know.
That's true.
Our world's going to
I have to stay alive until New Year's Eve when BTS will be performing at New Year's Eve Times Square.
Are they doing it?
Yes.
Wow.
So I have to stay alive for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you again for compiling all the book news.
You're welcome. And I guess we will see you guys in the next decade.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening to Books and Boba. This episode was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu and produced and edited by Marvin Yue. This podcast was recorded at the Potluck Podcast Studios located within the Visual Communications offices in downtown Los Angeles. You can learn more about Visual Communications and their programs such as the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival by going to their website at vcmedia.org. Thanks also to the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts that Books and Boba is a proud member of. You can learn more about our fellow Potluck podcasts by checking out the website podcastpotluck.com.
Hey, I'm Phil Yu, and you may know me from a blog called Angry Asian Man.
And I'm Jeff Yang, author, journalist, and celebrity dad.
We host a podcast called They Call Us Bruce, an unfiltered conversation about what's happening in Asian America.
Each week or so, we host a discussion about some of the most vital and interesting topics in our pop culture and our community, bringing in guests who are shaping and informing this thing called Asian America from Hollywood to D.C. and beyond.
We got media, entertainment, food, family, politics, representation.
The good, the bad, the WTF of it all.
So check us out wherever you get your podcasts or at theycallsbruce.com.
Peace.
Peace.